Shaw via Echolink from Ocala, Florida.
K2JHR, very good. Joe, WS2N. And let me just stand by. MHL, see if he got his radio sync with ours. Our repeaters. I'll stand by for you.
This is Bob, W2MHL. I changed the batteries. I hope that did the trick. My question was about Voyager. I understand they did some work on the antenna or transmitters or something. And do you have anything about what's going on with the Voyagers? One other quick question about the Voyagers. How big is the transmitter? How many watts is the transmitter on those things? Thank you, Paul.
Okay, you did very good. Very good. Okay, on the batteries, Bob, very well done. Difficult quieting. And Voyager 1, Voyager 2. I haven't read that they did any work on it recently. So you're telling me something new. I'll have to look into that. Yeah, launched in the 1970s, I guess 1977. Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. The antenna is 12-foot diameter. It's got a hole right in the middle so that they're able to sight the Earth with one of the detectors. But anyway, the communications, they transmit with a, their transmitter has a traveling wave tube set up, and they're able to transmit. In the beginning, it was around 25 watts, and it's dropped off over the decades. So who knows, it might be down to, 15 watts or something by now. I don't know. I'll have to check. But they were originally, I think, 25-watt transmitters and on 8 gigahertz on the X-band. So they're doing very good, last I heard. And both of them are officially outside the solar system. One of them, I think, is 140 AU, astronomical units away from us, which is a lot, considering like what Pluto, I think, is 39 AU. So, three, four times the distance of Pluto. And they're still on our way out, traveling at, I think they're around 8,000 or 9,000 miles. They're still going. So, it just keeps going and going. And they keep shutting things down. They have these heaters for different pieces of equipment that shut down because, they run on these radioisotope generators too. There's no solar power out there, that's for sure. So they have three on each one, which each generator puts out, a little over 100 watts, so 109 watts. So you have, to start with like 300 watts of power. Then they have these heat tubes running from that location where the plutonium is, and it just gets hot. I think it's like 1,200 degrees or something. And then these heat tubes piping, go to different locations on the spacecraft to keep the electronics or whatever, different motors and everything warm over the years. Well, they shut a lot of that down. So it's the power, I think it's 4% a year that you lose on the radioisotope generators. So they keep losing power. They can't have your cameras anymore. You can't have your different heat, motors that they operated on. So they're only down to a few different things like the plasma detector. And, they have a couple of things still going. They're able to transmit the information back to Earth on a regular basis too. And that's pretty much it, Bob. I'm going to look into what changes or what they did on these two things. Voyager 1 is the one furthest away. Voyager 2 is a little bit closer. Voyager 1 was the one that passed, when they went past Saturn, they really wanted to look at Titan, the moon of Saturn. It was a cloudy moon, and to do that, they needed to change the trajectory of Voyager 1, and they wanted to go in close and see what they could see. Fortunately, they didn't get enough data. I don't think it was really worth it, but they had to do it. It was like their one chance of looking at Titan. And what they did is change the trajectory of that, and it just kept going more or less straight out. And it never continued along on a curve where Voyager 2 did. So Voyager 2 passed that and just kept going. They had lined up to go to Uranus and Neptune, which Voyager 2 did. Because Voyager 1 kind of like went straight out without any kind of, broke up that almost heliocentric type of flight around the sun. It just kept on going. So I think that's the one that's 140-something astronomical units, and the other one is 125 or 127, something like that, Voyager 2. All right, any other comments? If not, I'm looking at the time. Boy, I really went past the time here. Quarter after I got... Yeah, well. Any other comments before I turn it back to Roy? This is WS2N.
Thank you, Paul. 73.
You too, Bob. WA2MAL. Have a good night, and we'll listen to Roy. Anybody that's listening, you can get on to the club's InfoNet tomorrow night on this frequency. If you hear it at the 8:30 time, of course you don't have to be a member, but and then that's followed by Swap and Shop and followed by Newsline. So that's always something to do on Monday night. Ham radio wise. Over to you, Roy. AC2GS WS2N.
Okay, thanks, Paul, for the SpaceNet report and for everything else you do here. I appreciate it. I want to thank everyone who participated tonight. I will spare you the link since I gave it to you already at the beginning in the middle of this technical net. So please, be safe, be smart. Once again, I hate to repeat myself, but if you have a loved one or even a hated one, please convince them to get vaccinated if it's medically possible. As always, want to end this, as Dick often would end the technical net, with the comment to please be kind to each other. As I've said before, this is a good piece of advice generally, and a very good piece of advice right now. We're still in the midst of this COVID-19. We're going to come to a peak soon. Hopefully it won't be too high, and it won't be around here, and it'll go down. But it's up to all of us whether we impress upon everyone that the vaccination is ultimately how we get out of this mess before we get some variants that the vaccine gets laughed at. So please, take care of yourself. Be safe. Come back next Sunday when we'll be back to try and do this all over again, and have a safe week until then. So be well. This is AC2GS. And this technical net is hereby ended, and I am hereby clear. Until next week, guys. Stay safe. Bye.
Let me try that again. WS2N. Are you still out there? AC2L.
InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. That tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
Welcome to the W1HN repeater system. W1HN repeater. The TL is 141.3.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the
W2VL. 2.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
Welcome to the W18GN repeater system.
VUA1ODD, W1SVQ calling.
YHY Mobile, listening.
W18EM, repeater, the EL is 141.3.
And 2MIN. And 2MIN. Wait, 2CDL and 2MIN.
W18GN repeater system.
W2VL.
WA2CDL, N2MIN.
W2VL repeater. Anybody copy this morning? The repeater's strong as horseradish in Framingham. Over.
Hi, Mark InfoNet. Tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
Doing a signal. K1NDF. Anybody copy on W2VL repeater? K1NDF listening on 146.85. Over. K1NDF listening W2VL. K1NDF listening W2VL repeater. Anybody copy? Kilowatt 1. Norway, Denmark, France. Over.
Thank you.
W2VL.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
W2.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
This is N2ZUC, Mobile, listen.
W2VF.
82, Zed Tango.
W2VF. W2VF.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
W2.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
W2VF. W2VF.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
W2VF.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
W2VF. W2VF. W2.
And to ZUC listening.
And to ZUC, WB2IKT.
Am I guessing, Hank? Is that the call, the name? And to ZUC, it's Ron in Valley Stream.
Okay, Ron in Valley Stream. This is Whiskey Baker 2, India Kilowatt Tango. Name is George. Located in Hicksville.
Okay, sorry about that. I thought I had the right name. How you doing? Staying cool today, George?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, this is pretty much the first time I'm using this radio. It's an Anytone 578, and you're actually my first contact on it.
Oh, it sounds very good.
Great, thank you, thank you. It's a DMR and analog radio. It's tri-band. It works on 2 meters, 220 megahertz, and 440. And I'm just slowly loading in the analog channels first, then I'll do the digital ones.
You have to program it with the computer, I gather.
Yeah, that's correct. There's a USB port to the left side of the front panel, and it becomes a pure peripheral. And I'm astounded by the amount of programming it needs. It is not an easy radio to set up.
I've probably seen that written up in QSC and advertisements and in the pages of QSC as well. It's a mobile radio.
Yeah, that's correct. This is a 50 to 40 watt radio, depending upon exactly what frequency mode you're in, and it can go to lower power, but right now I'm trying to program it for the car.
Well, it's going to be versatile, that's for sure. You want to try it on 440 too? Do you have that program?
No, not yet, not yet. Although I probably will in a couple of days.
Well, it takes that long to get it set up, huh?
W2OSR.
I suppose if I had more familiarity with it, it shouldn't take too long, but right now I'm actually working on something else, and just want to make sure that this was okay. And, well, thanks for contacting me. And, Bob, OSR, over to you, and then to Ron. This is WB2IKT.
Good afternoon, guys. I'm just curious which radio you're trying to program. Some of them, if you have the programming tape, it would be easy to go into something like Chirp, put everything in a chart, press a button, and it's programmed. Ron?
Hello there, Bob. Good to hear you. It's an Edicone. I didn't get the model number. I'm sure he'll tell you. And pick it up with him. Maybe give him some insight. Go ahead, Bob. Pick it up with George.
Okay, George. Which radio?
Okay, Bob Brown. This is the Edicone. It's the brand name. Model number is 578. And it's a tri-band, roughly 50 watts or so, on 2 meters and 440, and about 5 watts or so on 220 megahertz. And it doesn't work with Chirp. That's not its thing. It comes with what they call CBS software, and apparently that has to mediate it. I don't see any mass production on here. I have to enter each frequency and station I want to use line by line.
All right. Sorry, there isn't a software package that will program it for you. Would make life a lot easier, and I know what a bummer it is to have to do each and every one by hand. The base station radio I have is an older one, and you can't program that with a cable, so I have to sit there and go step by step to get to each repeater in it. And as it is right now, there's only one repeater in it because I had to do a complete software reset on the radio. I understand where you're at, and I just arrived at my local Walgreens Pharmacy, and I gotta go buy something. Fears that I may have broken a toe. W2OSR.
Ouch. And just for the record, I have a Baofeng 5X3 handy talkie, and that works very well with Chirp. And I do use Chirp, so I know what it's all about, but it doesn't work with this radio.
Let me grab it real quick. Bob, which toe did you possibly break? I guess he pulled the plug and went into the pharmacy. I had two radios that had to be programmed on the computer, which my son did with the Chirp, and very easy when you get the hang of it. I wish you luck with that, George. I'm going to sign with you. Enjoy the radio. As I said, it sounds really good. And speak to you another time. And I'll listen out for your final, George. This is N2ZUC clearing with WB2IKT.
Yeah, just waiting for that final beep. Okay, Ron, thanks. Appreciate the comeback, and I'm delighted to know it's working at least partially. I tried to listen to it on the HT, but apparently the 50 watts is just overloading the crap out of it. needless to say, I don't hear myself duplex on it.
Okay, 73.
73, WB2IKT is clear.
W2OSR. W2OSR.
W2OSR from KA2UTF. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Name is Bob. Just running around here on the North Shore of Long Island.
Okay, Bob. My name is Gary. Hanging out at my desk, taking care of a bunch of people. What are you up to today?
Well, since I'm retired, sort of as little as possible, I went to a medical facility earlier today because the toe that was in me and stuff. They seem to think that I broke my toe.
Sorry, Bob, you're not really holding the machine. I got little snippets of that.
I'm going to back spot up it. Okay, take your another time, W2OSR.
It may have just been a bad spot you were in because I copied that, Bob. Going to cut.
All right. I'll stay up on the high ground here. I'm going up a hill in a little while. And it's better at the top of the hill.
Yeah, I got all that. What, are you on foot?
No, I'm in the car. I'm up here on the North Shore, and there's lots of hills and valleys, which blocks me from the repeater sometimes.
Yeah. I'm familiar with the landscape. What town are you near?
I'm in Glen Cove.
Oh, yeah, okay. I have friends in Glen Cove. It is quite elite. section's been installed. Oh, yeah, just hanging out at the desk. Spent the day trying to clear out a storage locker, thing with idle stuff that I haven't looked at in years. It's true, shall we say.
Yeah, I often wonder if they make any sense. Now, maybe if you were moving, but, you know, you put your stuff in there that you don't think you're going to use a lot, and then you find out you really don't need it after all, and you're paying rent to keep it.
That is exactly correct. And if you're the type that has any sort of sentimental attachment or nostalgic, and you even forget it's there until you go look to see what's there. So the best solution is to just close your eyes and throw stuff out, and then you won't even remember what it was.
Yeah, well, I've got a wife that's anti-nostalgia. There's some photographs of which I had saved over the years when she was in one of these, her, let's get rid of this stuff, it's taking up space, tantrum, so it went.
Well, that's a good influence. No, I did plenty of that today. I got bags and I threw stuff in. I didn't care what it was. I didn't even look at it. And if I can't remember, what's the difference?
Yeah, if it has no immediate use, you might as well get rid of it, which gives me an incentive to probably work on some of the junk I've got in the basement in boxes. It's the kind of stuff you can't find when you need it, but I don't need it.
I have to step to the side. Have a cool pop. W2OSRK is easy.
Hey, take care. Have a good day. W2OSR.
KD2KNH Mobile. KD2NFJ, KD2KNH.
Well, well, well. Charlie, my man, how you doing?
Well, well, well. KD2OGB Mobile.
Well, a double. Sam, haven't heard you in a while. Just figured I'd shout out if you're out there. And Craig, good afternoon. Let me give it back to Sam, and then you can hand it over to Craig.
Okay, go ahead, Craig.
NSJ, long time no see. How have you been? Just left Floral Park having lunch. Missed the freight by 20 seconds. And it's time for me to sit in bumper-to-bumper traffic going home.
Yeah, everything is good. I haven't been on that much, but I listen a lot, going to all the time. But everything is good here. How about you? Wait, the car.
Well, I spent a little bit at Lynbrook, and then we went to Floral Park, had lunch, and wasn't expecting the freight to move west to Hicksville, but it moved, and we were almost about to get them, but we missed it by about 20 seconds. So, I mean, me and a friend missed it, but somebody else that was with us got it for us, I guess. So, yeah, unfortunately, we missed it.
Well, I'm assuming you were catching it to get pictures again.
Yep, that's what I was doing, and now I'm on my way to the expressway, and can't wait to see how much traffic is over there, probably a lot.
I know, yeah, you keep it down. Everything is good. Okay, Charlie, how are you doing?
Well, just returning from a week off. Thank God, now I can relax. Was just working around the house.
Wow, I didn't know you... Boy, I know they were glad to see your butt.
Didn't catch that because of road noise. I guess Craig is busy. But, back to the same old, same old. But I got a sign, gentlemen. Next call is coming up. I'll leave it to you two. Have a good day. KD2KNH.
Thank you, Charlie, for thinking about that call, man. Okay, Craig, how's the traffic look?
It's okay. I don't want to talk too much, but I'm thinking about bidding out of Jamaica. I want to do something else. I want to do like a line job. I want to do maybe a van. There's a lot of options open, but the majority of them really is Jamaica because I have terminal rights there. And if I want overtime, it's got to be Jamaica. Come on. But I've got plenty of ideas up my sleeve, so I'm just going to leave it as is. I'm about to come up to the expressway, so let's see how bad it is, because it's probably going to take me, what, 2 hours or so to get home? Can't wait.
Okay, pay attention to your driving. Everything's good.
Traffic's moving a little bit here, but it's definitely going to slow down as we progress east, so, delay is exits 34 to 38, so it's going to be a bit of a long shot, so, 730 East Katy 2 OGB Mobile, eastbound on the expressway, standing by.
Good trip.
KA2YHY, listening.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
Here is WB2EAV, listening.
WB2EAV, WB2IKT.
Did you see my email of about 2 hours ago?
Well, not really. Not yet, sir.
We're back. Was that a little bit short and cryptic?
I suspect I know what you mean, but I don't have that email.
Are you home or are you out?
At the moment, I'm home. And I'm on a brand new radio, so anything you could tell me is for a signal report, I'd appreciate it.
You sound beautiful. Perfect. You sound just like this guy who I used to sit next to at the LICN meetings. Doesn't get better than that, does it? No, here's the story. We're back. The community rooms at the ice rink are back in operation, and I set up a couple of dates.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful news. Okay, I guess I'm ready to rock and roll whenever we get started. Sounds good. Anyway, this is my new radio, Anytone 578, the tri-band rig running approximately 50 watts output on 2 meters and on 440 megahertz. It also does 220 megahertz, but at a bit lower power level.
Well, all I can say is you sound beautiful here and now. That's all I can offer you. Bye.
It's destined for the car because I noticed it's all too often that my 1 watt from the HT that I have in the car just isn't cutting it in a lot of places that I go.
No. 1 watt? 1 watt will not cut it. I recommend against using an HT even if it's like 7 watts in the car. I have operated an HT in the car, but with a Mirage 40 watt amp hooked up to it. That worked fine. But no, you sound beautiful. Now, by the way, when you get a chance, I'd like you to verify, and if you did not get the email, you let me know because there's something wrong. As I sent it, you know, to the four of you. You know, my usual, usual suspects. But wait a minute. Ken CYJ got back to me about it. But basically, there's a minor tweak. Normally, I polled you guys a while ago. I was told, you know, second Tuesday at 5:30 is still good. Problem is, you know, it's been so long, I gave up on keeping the second Tuesday at 5:30 clear. 3 months, I made it the third Tuesday, but I don't think anybody cares if it's the second or the third Tuesday, just want you to know which one.
As long as I know in advance. By the way, I'm on my email, and it's current, and my wife is wildly waving at me that I have to go and some sort of an errand, so... Anyway, thanks for getting back to me. Appreciate the signal report, and I'll let you know if I get the email. But as of 16:05, which is pretty close to the current time, I don't have it yet. 73, WB2IKT is clear.
Before you go, I have I'm going to the supermarket and run straight home. I'll check and make sure I didn't do anything stupid when I get home. All right, you enjoy the new rig, WB2EV.
73, WB2IKT is out.
November 2, Victor Hotel, Zulu N2VHZ, listening.
W2VL.
To Victor Hotel, Zulu N2VHZ, listening.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the WGL repeater.
All right, here is WB2EAV listening.
KA2UTF.
Good afternoon, Gary. How are you this fine day?
Things considered? Not bad. How about you?
I'm doing good, heading home from the supermarket. That's pretty mundane, isn't it?
Nothing bores me, Ed. I find everything of interest.
Well, yeah, it's Monday, so what better day than Monday for doing the mundane? They have so many letters in common.
No, I'm sure, I bet you most people don't understand the significance of the names and days of the week. Not sure I can remember all of them. Do you know any?
Well, I know Sunday is in honor of the sun. Monday is in honor of the moon. Tuesday, as I recall, is in honor of Mars, because in some ancient language, Mars was pronounced Tuz or something, and then I kind of lose track.
Not bad. I think you're right on all those scores. Now, Wednesday is Woden's day, because Woden was a god of some sort. I think maybe Nordic in origin. Thursday is a giveaway. Thor.
I'm not sure I see the link between Thursday and the number four. I'm trying to think of another word that's reminiscent of Thursday that indicates four, but I'm coming up blank. Maybe it's not just in the sun too much today.
No, I didn't say four. I said Thor, T-H-O-R. Very popular movie star.
Oh, I know all about it. I knew about Thor long before they ever, I don't know, for some reason, like in middle school, I read a fair amount about mythology. I have no idea if it was on my own or some kind of school project, but I learned all about a lot of those gods.
Hey, Roger, and Saturday's Saturn. But at least Friday, which I can't really think of it anymore. So if anybody out there in the great ham community knows the meaning of Friday, full standby, right? Right, Ed?
Well, maybe Friday is modern in honor of deep-fried shrimp.
Friday. Come again?
82KH. Friday is Freya Day.
That's a Norse girl. I know the Germans named some stuff after that one. I don't know what the god was, though.
Well, Freya was in there with all the Norse, their gods and whatnot as well. I think it was at the mother of, I don't know, I don't want to mix up the relationship today with everything being PC.
No,
I have him back.
All right. I believe in World War II, the Germans had some ground radar or radio stations known as Freya.
Well, Ed, you would know that better than us.
I think it had to do with the Battle of Britain. I read a book on the Battle of Britain that was very, very informative. And it went into all kinds of things about how the Germans directed their bombers and how the British did their best to jam it. And by the way, rumors to the contrary, the devastation of Coventry was the British screwed it up, which showed them just how well they were doing. Normally.
Well, I always thought the British were the first to come out with the radar systems and were intercepting the Germans.
Are you supposed to get a job that involves, let me think for a moment, electronically steered scanning radar, am I right?
The interview went as well as I did. Open, now I'm in the hurry up and wait for phone mode.
You know, in my profession, we had phased array steered beams of all kinds. So I'm not totally unfamiliar with the principle. The other station that's in here, I forgot your name.
Charlie, KD2KNH.
And Gary, why don't you say Gary?
Go ahead, you pick it up.
No, I was going to say is this book I read about the Battle of Britain. The Germans, in the Battle of Britain, were using these radio systems, kind of analogous to today's air traffic control DORs, where it established a beam, and they had two different beams, and when the beams crossed, the planes were supposed to follow one, and of course the other, they would drop the bombs. And the British did everything in their power to jam it. And later in the war, the British kind of adapted their own variation of that system, and the Germans were trying to jam them. Have I stunned everyone to silence or scared them away?
Well, since I never emailed you for that presentation, you know, I'm only very vaguely familiar with the principles.
Oh, by the way, off topic, while I have you, Charlie, I spent a week up in the Catskills corrupting America's youth a couple of weeks ago.
Great, I'm glad to hear you had fun. I know it was I know you really enjoy kids and what you do with them. That's great.
Yeah, it's basically, for those who don't know, teaching Boy Scouts marksmanship. I have all the certifications, and I love doing that. I find it very fulfilling.
Well, not to cut the other station out, but, yeah, and I understand ammo is starting to appear on the shelves again, so things are looking a little better.
Thank goodness for that. If you see any standard velocity 22s, you let me know. They've been as scarce than hen's teeth for at least the last decade.
All right, and I'll keep you in mind. And yeah, most of the stuff out there is high velocity.
All right, gentlemen, I am home. Should I stop corrupting this conversation and take the ice cream in the house before it melts?
Be our guest.
Well, you gotta let it melt a little, Ed. That's it. It tastes better. Enjoy your ice cream, and good to talk to you again. KD2KNH, standing by.
Everybody enjoy WB2EAV clear.
Okay, guys, I enjoyed the Q-Song. KD2UCF on the side.
All right, KD2KNH, standing by on the side as well. I don't want to monopolize the repeater. There might be a couple other people want to jump in, so I'll give it a few minutes.
Okay, Charlie. Thanks for Friday, by the way. KAPUPL.
Well, now I got to look that up. I know it was Thursday for Thursday and Freya Day for Friday, but I don't know if she was a relation to Thor or to Odin or whatnot, but one of those.
I wonder when Woden became Odin. Let me know if you find out.
Right, will do. Standing by, KAPUPL.
And 2VHZ, listening.
All right. I guess I'm back on again. KD2KNH. Hello, Ken. How's everything going?
What's up, Charlie? I heard you. I'm at my desk here at the government in my secure government location saying hello to you. What's going on?
Well, hello to you and your government bunker. Guess you're all settled in by now.
Figured I'd say hello to you from my usual locations, yes? Here I am. To try to get something up here on the air, you know, from my QTH up here at my new duty station. I ordered a mask from DS Engineering, a 30-foot extendable mask. Well, it's actually a 50-foot mask, but I only put them up 30 feet when I put them up, and then get that up there at the QTH at the government quarters and throw a VHF, UHF, HF antenna up on it and get something going for the winter hits, you know. But, hooking it up here up on the reservation. And we got 100-degree weather up here, 100-degree weather up in the High Plains area. How are you doing over there on the island? Back to you.
Well, Ken, 93 today. A little sticky, but we can't complain. The weather's been pretty good. Nice clear day today, very sunny, and I can't complain at all. I had last week off, just did some work around the house, and I figured maybe you'd have access to some 1,000-foot government antenna out there.
It's funny, you would think up here, first of all, how's my audio? Is it too loud or too low? I'm working off of the telephone. I'm not using my car audio. I don't want to be too loud or too low. How do I sound on the audio, first of all? Back to you, Charlie.
82 KH. Well, I knew it was a different audio, and it sounds just fine, especially for me in the car with background noise. You're coming in fine.
Yeah, it's funny up here. Everybody does what they want. It's like you're not in the normal world up here. Everybody's riding horses around. It's going to sound funny when I tell you this. It's like people up here riding horses, motorcycles, whatever they want. No helmets, no license plates, no nothing. It's like the land that time forgot. Nobody, the cops are riding around. They don't do nothing. People do whatever they want. Nobody cares about nothing. But nobody argues. Everybody's friendly. It seems like when there's no rules and regulations, everybody gets along fine. It's when you have all these guidelines and regulations where everybody has to do this and do that. Everybody's arguing with each other and wanting to kill each other, you know? But when everybody's relaxed and they don't have license, like you see kids 12 years old riding motorcycles with no license plates, no helmets. Nobody cares, you know? And then another kid rides, two or three kids ride a horse by, you know? They're riding horses full gallop past you, you know? Nobody cares. People just wave hello, you know? And everybody's playing music, barbecuing. It's like a big party. It's when you get down into the cities and stuff, the towns where people are arguing and angry and pissed off. But up here, everybody's relaxed. It's like a big nonstop party. Everybody's having fun up in the government installations, you know? And then when you get down into the cities, everybody's trying to kill each other. It's a different world up here. It's completely relaxed up here in the reservation, you know? And everybody's just hanging out, you know? The whole world could blow up. The price of gas could go to $10 a gallon. Milk could go to $10 a gallon. It wouldn't matter. Because on the reservation, it has no bearing on life. What do you think about that, Charlie? Back to you.
Well, Ken, I think we're going to have to rewrite all the history books. You know, they say how evil and horrible it was of us to put everybody on reservations. It sounds like we moved them to utopia.
Well, I can tell you one thing. My kids are 7 or 8 years old. They like it better up here. They said, Dad, it's nicer up here than it is down in Alliance. I said, why? They said, we don't feel the tension or the stress. That's the exact words they used. And I said, yeah, is it different? And they said, it doesn't seem like everybody hates each other up here. It seems like everybody loves each other. I said, they do. You know, the Native Americans, they love each other. They're all related to each other. They all love each other. And they love children. The main thing they love is children. They love children. They don't care whose children they are. They love children because they realize all children are innocent. The only reason children are crazy is from their parents. And they can be changed. It's not their fault.
they love all children, you know, and they're very, the Native Americans are very loving, very friendly people. They don't hate anybody. They only defend themselves, you know, against hate. And my children really love it up here, man. They say it's a different atmosphere, you know. And they don't like going away from it. They like staying here. And they like it better than living in the city, actually. They said it's a different feeling up here, you know. But it's funny. It's a good experience for them for a couple of years. It's true. The books have to be rewritten. We're living the wrong way, bro. Back to you.
Well, I was only kidding, but I'm sure it wasn't that way in the beginning, as we know. But I'm glad they're living a good life, and you know, they love their children as everybody should, and glad you're enjoying it. Yeah, and you know, sometimes it's better. You move kids around; they're a lot more well-rounded, and you know, they know what the real world is, or even the country. You know, the more exposure, the better.
Well, I found my next job. I'm already, as soon as you get your job at the government duty station, you have to search for your next one. My next one's going to be lighthouse tender out at Montauk. So I'm going to start applying for the lighthouse tender out on Montauk Point. That's a government job. What do you think? Lighthouse tender, Montauk Point. Back to you.
Well, as long as you get to live there for free, your view is nice. You don't have to carry up whale oil to keep the lamp lit anymore. Just have to show some tourists around. I think that's the ideal job. Before they had automation, the bridges by the water. You could sit there and read or study and take courses, whatever you want to do, and have a beautiful view.
Well, yeah, you get to live there. The housing's free. The housing's free, like here, you know. The bridge tender, it's called bridge tender. You have to have an FCC license, commercial license. I have that license because you have to operate the marine radio to be able to communicate with the ships as a bridge tender for the bridges that lift up and turn, you know, or the cantilever. Those are, well, they have those in New Jersey, the bridges that turn. Some places have the drawbridges that lift up, but regardless, you have to have an FCC marine radio operator's license. Be able to communicate on the marine radios. So part of the bridge, they call it bridge tender, you have to have a marine license. And I have that, no problem. And I can do bridge tender, but that's kind of a gritty job. I want the really chilled out job as the lighthouse tender is more of a cush job. That's either in a Nantucket, or Montauk, or the Outer Banks, you know, something like that. So lighthouse tender is more of a cush job, you know what I'm saying? So that's more of my alley. Without the whale oil, you know, the whale oil is a thing of the past. We're more into the LED light bulbs nowadays, right?
Well, since just a part of history is totally irrelevant today, I don't know that it matters. Everything is GPS these days, but, yeah, you know, your luck would be you'd get a lighthouse tender job, but it would be 5 miles or 10 miles out and just a rock.
What was the one that you told us about? That one job when I worked for the phone company, you have that island out there on Long Island that they test nerve gas on animals. I forget the name of it, but you have that crazy island out there on Long Island where nobody's allowed to go on it because they test nerve gas, you know? And the guy that goes out there to fix the telephone, he had to leave his tools and everything out there, and he had to take a shower when he went off the island and all his stuff. That was kind of a weird job, but the one technician they had, he had to get tested all the time also for certain kind of poisons and stuff in his blood, you know? But, yeah, I wouldn't want that job. But imagine you put in for a lighthouse tender, right, and they send you out to some remote rock out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, 20 miles away from everybody, you know, out in the middle. Hey, there's always radio. It's no worse than working out here in Alliance, Nebraska. You might as well. Alliance, Nebraska is like a rock in the middle of nowhere,
but it's instead of ocean, you got the desert around you. But I'm going to have to cut it short. I'm going to have to send some emails out now. I just wanted to stop in and say hello and hand it back to you. Over to you, Charlie.
Okay, this is okay, Dave. All right, Ken, always nice hearing from you, and I'm glad the kids are all settled in and enjoying themselves, and you as well. Talk to you again soon. Hey, did you can H clear 73?
Okay, man. Yeah, we're just knocking it out of the park here with my government job, you know. I'm back working for good old Uncle Sugar, you know, back where I should have been in the first place. 73s and 2 VHC out.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
K2KNB, WB2CSC.
W2, repeater.
K2KNB, how are you, Steve?
Moderately good. Finding myself swamped. I started a project that's computer intensive.
Yeah, that's the problem that I've been having for a few days trying to get one of the software programs for digital mode to work, and it's just been a pain in the neck. And sometimes it's the computer. Sometimes it's just a darn computer. Windows 10 just does bad things. Anyway, I guess if you're swamped, it's probably good to be near Round Swamp Road anyway.
Say that again?
I said that you were swamped, and I said that's a good time to be near Round Swamp Road.
Yet to be very putty.
Yes, indeed. Where are you at now? How's traffic tonight?
Lousy in Queens, good in Nassau. I just arrived at Glen Cove Road.
Well, not so bad. How is traffic, though? It's been crazy. My niece came up from Jersey on Saturday. Normally 2 hours and 30. And it was like almost 3 hours and 30.
There is no sense as to what's going on. This morning I went in and, you know, very, very good traffic. Coming out this afternoon, very bad. And I could see that heading in the other direction. When you get to Glen Cove Road, slows down.
Yeah, it's probably going to get worse also. More and more people going to work. My neighbors and even in my family that have been at home, they're not going in full time, but they may be going in at least 2 days a week, sometimes 3 days a week.
Yeah, well, I haven't been doing that, and it's not a practical thing in my case. And as I say, I've got a couple of things working right now that are going to keep me busy for a month or two at least.
Oh, nothing wrong with that, as long as there's good positive stuff they can get paid for.
Yep. Anyway, I'm trying to make things work, and it's kind of a tough one.
You talking about the project that you're working on?
Yeah, I'm upgrading the dispatch console in Westbury. They got a multi-year service contract, and what it includes are upgrades, so they're probably about 3 years behind, and it includes a change from Windows 7 to Windows 10, and their setup also is oriented towards the newer hardware that they supply, not the older one that they have.
Yeah, that is a big upgrade. How many units are involved in that?
Well, I'm replacing 16 computers. And let's see, that's for Westbury. There's 8 over in Mineola, plus there's 4 servers which get upgraded.
Now you said you're replacing the computers, but they order in the computers as per spec, or that's part of your program with them.
No, they ordered the computers, their IT department took care of it. I just have the software and I've got to integrate it.
All right, and so you have to do an integration of moving it up from Windows 7 to Windows 10? Or they've done some of that?
No, they have new computers that came with Windows 10. The first group they set up to go on their network after we told them you can't do that. So they're going to use those somewhere else. And they gave me 10 of them that they never touched.
Yeah, good luck with any Windows 10 upgrade. It's crazy how it just disrupts programs. And, you know, I've spoken to Microsoft and some of my programs. When there's upgrades and the program stops working, Microsoft says, listen, we got to do our upgrades. And then the other company says, well, we try to keep up with them, but when we can't, we come out with a new version that you have to buy. And there you go.
Well, I got news to you. I'm up to Windows 10, A2 or R2? I can't remember. There's only one newer version than that, which they're starting to call Windows 11. And I think if you have 10, they upgrade you to it. But we'll see what happens. You got to understand, the only thing they have besides the operating system that they need on there and the prerequisite software is the is the software for the console. So it's not a big problem.
Yeah, and I guess software is designed in such a way that it is steady is maybe not the right word, but not to be affected by some upgrades in Windows. But still in all, I mean, they're constantly upgrading, constantly gating. Not problems, but glitches in the road.
Yeah, well, I'm going to update everything as much as I can, because after that, unless there's a specific upgrade that they tell us to put in, it's staying that way.
Yeah. Well, and that's the two locations also. So how long a project is that? You said a couple months?
Yeah, mostly have to worry about the one over in Westbury first. The other one, it's just, I can take all the time I need for that, since it's basically an unmanned site. Pretty much 99.9% of the time for the last 10 years.
Yeah. Do you do this by yourself, or you have someone working with you?
Well, I used to have somebody working with me. I guess if I can pry the other person loose, which I want to do. I will have somebody working with me as well, but we'll see how that goes. I just want to get the preliminary stuff set up, like the computer set up, so I can put the software on it.
Yeah, makes sense.
What,
are they all rack mounted or desktops?
Yeah, they're all desktops, like the IBM ones. That was the original round of replacements.
Does that mean that there's a bunch of Windows 7 machines becoming available?
Oh, maybe.
All right, good. Some people say, I haven't experienced it myself, but some people say even if the computer is an older Windows 7 that you never upgraded, they'll still upgrade you to Windows 10. Some kind of a code or something that you have to put in.
Yeah, no, I've done that. You use the Windows 7 product key for it.
Yeah, I think I had that for a very short period of time before they offered the upgrade, so I just went. But, people don't realize there's two programs that I run that one of them probably is a $200 program, the other is well in excess of $300. And sometimes, basically, after Windows upgrade, they just don't work. Or they don't function properly, and I have to go and buy a new version of it.
Yeah, well, these guys, they work. They keep everything as up to date as they possibly can. They have very specific instructions of which ones they've tested out with which, and because it's a public safety issue. Although that's not where their business started out, it's where it's gone.
Yeah, you're in a noisy area now.
Want to go to UHF?
No, I'm actually going to go down and grab a cup of coffee. My last one of the day.